Well, thank you again for having me up here for one of these conventions. Who was at the Seniors Plus?
Oh,
thanks for coming back again. That's great. You've heard this. But actually, it's been a whole year. And as you know, this topic is huge. And the hardest thing for me is nutshelling and keeping it down to, hi, my niece. How are you? Anyway, and my brother. My goodness, the family is coming out of the woodwork. I was Renee Vine, Jim and Grace Vine's daughter. So that's the connection in case you didn't know. Anyway. So what I want to look at through this talk, actually I need, can somebody be a timekeeper for me? Can you let me know when we've got 15 minutes left?
Okay.
Because I will fly through that if we need to.
I'll get the ship and talk a lot.
Thanks, yeah. There are a few things that I really want to cover in this particular talk. This is a real nutshell of what I do with people. I look at how to be healthy, which seems, it seems like we shouldn't have to even talk about this. And 100 years ago, it wasn't a topic. 60, 50 years ago, maybe it wasn't so much of a topic. But I mean, we all know how quickly things have changed and the basics of life have changed in that time. So we do need to be aware of some things. So we're going to look a little bit at what is actually health. When you say the word health, people think different things. So we'll look at what do I actually mean when I'm saying that, and what do you mean when you talk about health? And then we're going to talk about some real practical everyday habits, because knowledge is great, but it's useless until you do something with it. And I want you to go away today with a list of things that you're going to be able to do that will affect your health in a positive way. So buckle up. Here we go. If you don't have a handout, here are these. Can I give these to you to hand out? We've asked if you could, if you're in a couple here, if you could share one, but otherwise, please just make sure that you can see one. These are just for your information. If you have a pen, that's great. Otherwise, just fill it in later, and there's some resources on the back if you'd like to have a look through those. My disclaimer is, which you always have to have when you're talking about anything to do with health and people. My disclaimer, this is my opinion only. It's not actually only, but this is my opinion tonight, today. And I will never, even in my practice, I never ask people or recommend that they stop taking medication or stop doing anything that their doctor recommends them to do. What I do find is when they start to put some healthy habits in place, they no longer necessarily need those things, but that's between them and their doctor. So please don't go home and go, well, I can throw this whole thing of don't throw anything. Okay. It's not actually only my opinion. This is a list of doctors, just some of the reference doctors that I use for how to be healthy. And these are readily available all over the internet. They've written books. They're all on podcasts and videos and blah, 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 all with the same view of looking at us as holistic beings. So not just looking at your appendix. We're looking at us as people and how to be healthy in the 21st century, which is not as easy as it seems. When I was doing my nurse's training at the PA hospital, we were one of the last groups going through hospital training, which was great. I would never have done it through uni. Anyway, we were at the PA hospital and we learned that we are biopsychosocial spiritual beings. And I remember going, wow, that's a lot. And this was 1989 was when I started. My mum was a nurse in the 1950s, I want to say, 50s, where you were the appendix in bed three. So we had come quite a long way by 1989 to even say the words, we are biopsychosocial spiritual beings. We didn't really do anything with anything but the bio, you know, the biological body, but at least we were talking about it. But that is what holistic health is. It's taking into account that we are more than just this body bag that we live in. This is just our temporary home. And I got to say, I love talking to a group of Christians because it's a whole different ballgame. A lot of my clients will call themselves witches, druids. They're aware of the spiritual world. And when I say to them, hey, this is how our Creator made us, they listen because they know there's more than just this body. They don't understand it, but it's such a great opportunity. So please pray for me in that, because Sometimes we use the same words and they don't mean the same things. But anyway, speaking to you today, we are aware that we are spiritual. We know that. But do we also take into account the fact that we are emotional and we are mental? My most difficult clients over the last 10 years have been Christians. Because you don't want to think about your emotions. You can't base anything. You don't live by your emotions. We almost put them in a cupboard and shut them. Or mental health. You just need to pray more. You just need to spend more time in God's word. Through the years that I had drastic depression, I could not have spent more time in God's word. And to have Christians telling me that that was what I needed to do just heaped the guilt on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. There was no joy. So what do you do with that? We have to admit that we are all of those things. And if you've ever had something wrong physically, you know, it doesn't take long before you get really down. Depression sets in real fast when you can't be mobile anymore. We can't separate those four aspects of our lives. And I think as Christians, we need to recognize that God made us with all of those. And one of the things that struck me when I heard that term, biopsychosocial spiritual, I was thinking, I've heard that before. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. I cry a lot, just so you know. That struck me as where the rubber hits the road. This is why I love my Lord, and I get to honor him with all of me. Why don't we talk about that more as Christians? How do we honor him with more than just our body, more than just our spirit, with my mind and my emotions? We need to make that a regular conversation because it's all of us. I have a granddaughter. She's 2.5, and she is a spitfire. When wisdom catches up with her, she's going to be unstoppable. But for now, it's exhausting. She's had gastro the last few days. I took her to the toilet this morning. I have a reason for telling this toilet story, just so you know. She's very small, and she is potty trained already, so she runs to the toilet when she needs to go, but it's really big. So she has to hang on to you so she doesn't fall in, okay, because that's terrifying. So there's a little stool in front of the toilet, and I'm sitting on the stool, and I'm holding on to her, and she's holding on to me. And she's making the worst smell. And she leans forward, puts her elbows on my knees and says, "So, how's it going, Mimi?" And I thought, you know, I mean, how great that we can just normalize a terrible situation. It was just awful. But that is kind of what this conversation is about. The conversation of how to be healthy. It's not easy. It's messy. And most of us have already done a lot of things wrong, as in wrong, as in not morally, but wrong, as in that don't lead to great health. And so it can be a really confronting topic. So I want to say this is enough to scratch the surface, and it may just rile some people, which is great. I would love to talk to you about it later if you have questions, concerns about that. So here we are. Oh, no. Okay. Is that back? Yes. So love the Lord your God with all of you. When God requires us to do a thing, he provides a way to do it. So how do I love him with everything that I am when part of me is broken? When I work with people, I look at, okay, what's your starting point? What's your starting point? How healthy are you? What medications are you on? What's your medical history? What's your family history? Blah, 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 blah. It's big. All that does is tell you what your starting point is. That's where you stand right now. By changing your habits, your everyday habits, that's deciding where your next step is going to go. And then you do those habits again. That's why they're called habits. And that dictates where your next step goes. That's as simple as it. So I don't care if you've got a diagnosis or four. You know, I don't care what medication you're on. That is simply where you stand today. And I want to explain what I mean by that. We are all heading someplace. We're all going to die. just so you know. Nobody gets out of this alive, people. But we're all going to die the day that we were going to die. Anyway, God's got that. That is not what the question is. The question is, while we're here, we've got a job to do or we wouldn't be here. So as much as is in our control, which is a lot more than we think, I want to make sure that I am as fit and healthy and able to do what I've been called to do while I'm still here for the things that I can control. We can't control everything, and God uses us anyway because amazing, he's God. So we need to have a plan for where we're heading. Do you have a plan health-wise where you're heading? Most people don't. Stay healthy. That's good. Specific, do you have specific how to do it?
I take lots of minerals and vitamins.
Great.
And I'm on no medication.
Great. Having a plan, it's like planning a journey. You know, you can go, I'm getting in the car and I'm going. Excellent. Where are you going? Unless you have a destination and how you're going to get there, you could end up anywhere, which could be a great adventure. But generally with our health, that's not what happens. I used to think that people who could work out, go to the gym, lift heavy things, they were healthy. Our son was a bodybuilder. He did his first competition. And I wanted to encourage him. He really struggled with that. All his friends made fun of him and blah, blah, blah. He said to me at 18, he said, Mom, I want to see what I can make my body do. I went, fabulous. What 18-year-old young man wants to be so in control of his own body? I'm like, go for it. It's temporary. It's not a lifestyle. He did it. I watched what he ate. I watched how they recommended he drank water, how much, when. It was not about health, people. It was not at all about health. It was to show your muscles. So they were very dehydrated, very, like, not enough calories. It wasn't long-term health. But when you lift heavy things, it's because there's already a degree of health there. So it can't be that health is only lifting heavy things, being very strong. It's part of it, but it's not the whole picture. And then as a nurse, I was like, well, we learned all about healthcare, medical stuff, but what we learned was how to treat someone that had a problem. We didn't learn about health. We zero about how to be healthy. And that's not what doctors and nurses are for. Therefore, when something goes wrong, absolutely, get to the doctor. If you need to go, go. But they're not there to teach you how to be well. So then I was thinking, well, what is well? What is health? What do we mean? This is one of those, you know, those metal guys that they stand on your desk and yeah, you can knock it from one way and he goes like this, but then he's designed to come back into balance again. That's what God designed us to do. It's called homeostasis. Every system in our body is designed to handle some sort of hits from some direction, but then to come back into homeostasis again, into balance again. And health is when every system in our body is functioning to its optimum potential. That's balance. That's what being healthy is. So by that definition, are you healthy? It doesn't take into consideration age, because most of aging happens because we stop using what we have. There's no need to lose strength. You have to work harder as you get older. But you can build muscle. There's nothing physiologically that stops you from building muscle, apart from actually doing what it takes. But when everything is working so that we are in balance, that is being healthy. That is the goal. That's when we're not going to be distracted by things going wrong, things needing our attention, things hurting so bad. You know, a lot of that happens. It means that we're out of balance. Wait, another thing about that. We are designed to come back into balance, but sometimes things hit us from so many different directions that it knocks us off our perch, right? And that happens. That's life. That just happens. Sometimes things line up in just one hit after another. I met a girl working. I stopped in at the shops up here in town this morning, And I was in a shop, and this lady said to me, are you from Wynnum? I went, yes, like a long time ago. And she looked kind of familiar. She said, oh, I don't know your name, but I know you. And I was like, I went to Wynnum High. She said, I went to Wynnum High. Okay. And turns out she was a year younger than me. I said, just tell me your name. What's your name? She said, Real Henderson. Dean Henderson's niece. Does anyone know Dean Henderson? Yeah. I went to school with, well, her brother was older than me and she was a year younger than me. And I knew of, I wasn't great friends, but we had a great talk. I was like, that's amazing. But when you get to be this age, people have stories. Everyone is just a walking story. And it was interesting sharing just a few moments, our stories, since we'd seen each other I left school when I was 17, and I haven't been in contact ever since. And there have been some hits for both of us over the years. And sometimes those hits come really close together and they feel like they're just going to overwhelm you. And sometimes they do for a time. But if you have been on your perch, I like to call that the perch. If you've been on your perch, you are designed to at least get close to back on that again, given enough time. That's how God created us. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and definitely spiritually. Sometimes spiritually, it's not going to be till we are standing face to face with Him. But He created us. And that's what I mean when I talk about people healing. And I talk about that because I have. I learned to put all this into place, and that's where this comes from, is because of having 40 too many years of being really unwell. Mostly mentally and emotionally, so it was a lot harder to, you know, if I'd been in a brace or, you know, broke my back or something, it felt more legitimate that something was physically wrong. But mental and emotional illness is so big. And so I learned to put these things into place. I studied these things, and that's why I share this, because people are slow dying for longer than ever instead of really living. So I looked at Genesis. If God makes a way for us to get back on our perch again, if He makes a way for us to love Him with everything, every part of our being, He must have provided a way. So in my studying, I started listing the common things that kept coming up. Diet, fresh air, clean water. And I was like, that sounds awful like what God created in originally, you know, way back. Because which would make sense, right? If God was designing a world for human beings to live in perfection forever, what was there is what we need. Yes, we live in a fallen world and it's not going to be that good. But man, that's a good place to start, right? Trying to get as close as we can to these eight things. So I've called them the eight pillars of health. Turns out other people did too, which is fabulous. That felt much more, it was very validating for me. And these are the eight recommendations. When I started looking at chronic health things, the most common things that people experience in life, these things come up over and over and over and over and over. But how many of us jump straight to a pill rather than looking at these things? You know, it's easier because, I mean, it is overwhelming. Where do you start? How do you even do these things? But it's so simple a lot of time that people can't accept it. But I want to share that these are the foundations. These eight pillars are the foundations for how to be healthy. Everything else is built on that. So what I do with people, we come in, we go, what's your medical history? Blah, 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 blah. Let's start some healthy habits and see what happens. Let's just be curious. First thing, let's drink enough water. That's a biggie, and I've got so many stories, but we don't have time. Most recently, there's a lady, she's 80-something, and never drinks water. Doesn't like it, doesn't want to drink it, won't do it. Besides, the more you drink, the more you have to stop watching TV and get up and go to the toilet. And, you know, that's bad. So, but she started developing episodes of blurred vision but not blurred this way, blurred this way, and passing out, and numbness. And I was like, okay, all of those things. How much water do you drink? I don't drink water. Okay, well, let's just start there. I'm not saying that's the cure for all of it, but without water, your electrical charges don't work. You know, things just don't work when you don't have enough water. So we did work with her for about 3 weeks. I'm sure she had some bad things to say about me because she was in the toilet all the time. And her bladder was this big from never drinking water, and all of a sudden it had to stretch and it did not like it. And so it was a bit rough for the first few days. But I said to her at the end of that time, how'd you go? How many episodes have you had? She never told me till after they were done. She said, oh, well, I had a little, maybe, not really any. I was like, oh, well, just interesting, huh? But, you know, it's connecting the basic. We get so sophisticated and so complicated. Start with the basics. See what happens. Water is just one of them. There's the eight. You can actually put all these in eight and find that you still have some gaps. But then you know what you're dealing with. You're not just throwing medication at something and then having side effects, and you still haven't got the building blocks in place. So that's why we start with this. Doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what's going on, and things tend to get better. I'm not saying things go away completely all the time. Sometimes they do, and that's very fun for me. Health is a continuum. We are always going up and down this continuum, depending on what's going on around us, what we're eating, whether we're drinking water, what viruses are around, what stress we have in our lives, what genetics we have, that does play a part. We are always up and down this. And the illustration I usually use for this is when we moved to the States in 2000, we took our kids over for an adventure that lasted 8 years. Oops. But Halloween, we don't do Halloween at our family because A, I don't want the kids eating that much sugar. B, you teach them not to talk to strangers. But now this one day a year, you say, go to this stranger's house and eat whatever they give you. And also we were in Seattle where it rains all the time. Best job ever for a weather reporter because you are always right. It was raining all the time, and the end of October is chilly, and these little fairies and supermen walking around in their little lycra, you know, outfits in the rain, eating candy, and 3 days later, everybody's sick. Every year, for 8 years, we watched this, and I was thinking, does anyone else see what's happening? But if I said anything, oh, it's flu season. Well, it is now, because sugar drops immunity. So what you normally could fight off, viruses, colds you come in contact with, you eat sugar and you knock out your immunity for a good 3 days. It's important. So you could start here, have a celebration, drop down a little bit. So just take a couple of days to make sure you're really consciously building up again. Go on your merry way. We are constantly going up and down, and we can manage how that goes, how that looks for us to a great degree. Always. But what about these big four? These are the four most common chronic diseases that people experience. And we've all been touched by them in some way, shape, or form. And I want you to hear me. This is with the utmost compassion that I talk about this, but it's too important not to talk about. A chronic disease is something that wasn't there and develops over time. A chronic disease happens when enough hits come that they knock us off our perch and we don't have what it takes left to fight off whatever is going on. However, Charlotte Gerson was a doctor who treated people outside the box medically, very effectively, with cancer treatment especially. She looked at diet and lifestyle. And she said, any chronic or degenerative disease has one, at least one or both of two causes only, toxicity or malnutrition. So what that means is, say you've got a street, you've got an estate that's being built, you've got houses going up on all these blocks, right? There's a house here, this one is still a blank block, it's empty, so the builders park their stuff on it. Then there's another house, there's another house, there's another house. That's the one block that's not filled with what should be there. And no one can build on it because there's stuff there that shouldn't be there. That's toxicity. There's something going in, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, something going in that does not belong there. That's toxic. So we've got to get rid of that and make space for what should be there. The problem comes when you get rid of what shouldn't be there and you don't replace it with what should be there. So that's malnourishment. There should be a house on that block. So let's build a house on the block. Let's put what should be there to complete the street in the new estate. Does that make sense when you think about health? When everything is there that our body, mind, emotions, and spirit is designed to thrive on, not just survive, we're designed to actually live. When everything is in place, we live. When something is missing or there's something there that should not be there, we can't be healthy. It's not a physical possibility. Does that kind of make sense? So we need to look at, okay, what's supposed to be there? What is supposed to be there? And today in our lifestyle, even the basics of the things that we need are being messed with. We've got to be more and more intentional about what we put in and what we allow to take up residence, not just in our thinking, but definitely in our thinking, but physically especially. And that's the three things that I want to share with you today. But getting back to these four, these are the four most common chronic diseases, things that develop and that many doctors all over the world are reversing with diet and lifestyle. If you've been on your perch and you get knocked off, you can start to make your way back to that perch, given enough time. But usually things don't develop until later in life. And even if, when we start to turn things around, we can improve things, but we're gonna die the day we were gonna die anyway. And sometimes there's just not enough years left. But 10% of all chronic diseases, less than 10%, some studies say 6%, is dictated by our genetics. I should have, if it was all about genetics, I should have a number of different things wrong with me. But I'm not doing the things that it requires for those things to happen. You may have, you know, there was a very interesting case years ago. Angelina Jolie had a gene for cancer. So she had a double mastectomy as prevention. She did not need to do that. She needed to just not do the things that turns on that gene from replicating. There's a saying that says, genes load the gun and lifestyle pulls the trigger. Absolutely. So even if you have a predisposition to something, all of your family has heart disease. My husband, all of his family have heart disease. His two grandfathers and his father died in their mid-50s to early 60s of heart disease. All four brothers have had heart attacks. They all have ridiculous amounts of extra weight that they carry. It's terrible. I saw my husband in a pool with his four brothers and I yelled out, "You're welcome!" He's not like them. He does not have heart disease. He is thin, he is muscular, because he doesn't do what it takes to get heart disease. Does that make sense? It's not a given. It's not, here's your genes. Oh, sorry. Terrible that it's you, but oh well. But that used to be how it was taught. Even when I was nursing, we were still being told that if you have a genetic predisposition to something, better get ready for that. What hopelessness is that? That is not how we're created. So, if 90% at least of our experience of health is dictated by our diet and lifestyle, what do we do? The eight pillars of health, the CDC, the World Health Organization, all of them have a very small, but have a section about the things to do to increase your health in diet and lifestyle, and they include these things. Not all of them, all the time, but it's these things. But then a major on them, because it's more, seriously, it does sound like a real conspiracy. And I do sound like a conspiratist. I have accepted that. But I've read Revelation. It is a conspiracy, and we know how it goes. Things are not as good as they should be. But we have much more control over the decisions of the really basics of life than we will ever be told, because big business is built on people being sick. It's as simple as that. Every cancer patient is a multi-million dollar cash cow, which is a terrible way to put it. And that is, it should not be that way. And it makes me so cranky. But that is how it is. We have the choice and tools, we just need the knowledge. And then if you need treatment, get the treatment. Once the eight pillars are put into place, or while you're putting the eight pillars in place. We have a friend that's been in the hospital for 4 months having chemo. He was diagnosed very quickly with a very fast-growing cancer that spread very quickly through his whole body. He went in, he had chemo, he asked for us to pray, and we got a message in the middle of the other night that he had a PET scan and there's no sign of it. He was having chemo. We were praying. He also got into the sun every day. He ate very carefully. He did not eat the food that they provided in the hospital. He was intentional about drinking enough water. He did the eight, and he needed some help. So I'm not saying just do the eight, bury your head in the sand, everything's going to be great. We live in the 21st century. Medical help is there, but it will not heal when those eight are not in place. So you have a choice. As you age, where you are right now, a lot of people kind of go, oh, well, it's all downhill from here. We're just getting older and we're going to fade away. And heck no. I'm 54. I plan to have at least another 40 years if I possibly can. We've warned our kids. It's going to be traumatic when we go. There's going to be none of this fading away, you know, into the couch. Not if I can help it, bucko. So... I mean, I always said, oh, I'm going to age gracefully. No way, man. I'm kicking and screaming. And I'm choosing. I'm not fading away. I've got stuff to do. And I can see that you guys do too. So, yeah, we have the choice. So, everyday habits. This is where it just gets real practical. And if you want to take pictures of all of these screens, please do that, because there's a lot. Water is key. But as with all of the eight pillars, and we're only going to major on three, they're all important, but these are the ones you get the biggest bang for your buck, is that bad? The biggest result by putting them into place quickly. Water. It's important to know the symptoms of dehydration, because most of us don't recognize when things are wrong. Fatigue and lethargy. Well, everybody's tired, especially on a day like today. What is this weather? I was hoping to come to Tambourine to cool off. Sunken eyes, a decrease in urination. You know, yeah, you do have to go to the bathroom sometimes. And that's good for you because it uses your muscles. You've got to move to the bathroom. Muscle weakness and cramps can simply be dehydration. Cracked lips, headaches and dizziness. I know if I wake up in the morning and I've just got that, you know, that just that little headache that's just there a little bit. I know it's because I'm dehydrated. So just have water. Dizziness is another one. People with low blood pressure, and I had low blood pressure for years. I'm like, what is going on? Why do I just get so dizzy all the time? I never drank water. Our blood is largely, the volume is very, very affected by water. If you're not drinking enough, chances are you're going to be dizzy and you're going to have lower blood pressure. Chances are. You could have other things that shoot your blood pressure up as well, but that's a good place to start. Nausea, confusion, forgetfulness, deep rapid breathing or an increased heart rate or low blood pressure, dry or sticky mucus around the mouth, UTIs, very common, and constipation because you don't have enough I talk about all the systems because they're important. If you don't have enough moisture in your body, you don't get rid of it easily. And so that then builds up your toxic load, and that leads to all sorts of other illnesses and problems. So it's, you can't get around it. You have to drink water. How to's though, filtered. Since the 1960s and the advent of the, the pill, contraceptive pill, our waterways have been so polluted with fake estrogen. It's not bioidentical, it's synthetic estrogen. Today, there's a high, I don't have the actual statistics with me, but there is such, it's so common to have estrogen dominance in men and in women, our infertility issues, our lower testosterone issues. It is messing with people. The whole transgender thing, I'm not saying this is the only cause, but it does not help where men are growing up as young men with more estrogen in their body than they were ever designed to have to process. It confuses everybody. Estrogen being too high, that turned out to be a lot of my problem. Depression, infertility, growths of all sorts of stuff. It just messes with people. And so then IVF, if people want to get pregnant, and that messes with you as well. We've got to filter our water. That's just one reason why we've got to filter our water. So having even if you don't have a filtration system on your home, if you've got a on-the-counter, a Brita or something, yes, you have to keep buying the filters. But there is so much if you're on town water. If you're on tank water, then you've got what's on your roof. And not just the poop. That's probably the least of your worries of what's on your roof. It's the metal. And what is your water tank made out of? And what's leaching into the water while it sits in the sun? You know, I mean, goodness me. There's stuff. There's so much to think about. But filtered water is so important. Room temperature. I know we live in Australia. It's really important to have cold drinks to cool us down. What happens when blood vessels come in contact with cold? They restrict. You don't want that when you're drinking water. You want them to expand so that they absorb water. Room temperature water will be good for hydration. If you've had enough room temperature water and you want to cool down, great. Have a cold drink, but you're not absorbing that as much. 6 to 8 200 ml glasses daily. Does anyone actually get that in a day? Brilliant. Brilliant. So good. If you don't, I can't encourage you enough. I mean, 6 to 8, it's not a hard rule. If you're going out, if you're going shopping, probably not as much. Also, aim to do it before about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just saying. Urine should be pale yellow or clear. I mean, and it shouldn't be real odorous. This is a big one. Had somebody say to me recently, but when I eat, I bloat so much. And we kind of nutted it out. What are you eating? Oh, wasn't that bad? She was drinking a big glass of water with her meal. We need our gastric juices to be really acidic to digest food. If you're drinking water with your meal, it's diluting that. You can't digest that as well. This is, when I started looking at this, I'm like, it's not rocket science. I am not that smart, but this is just logical. If we really understood what our bodies do and how to maintain them. Drink most before 3 p.m. Mark a bottle with times. This is one of the best tricks that I did when I started learning to drink water. Like, I'm not gonna remember this. I put timers on my phone and it would go off every hour because I just didn't think about it. You know, you get busy, you're doing things. I wanted to start a new habit. And then I had just a jar, a glass jar. You can get a whatever jar you use or a liter bottle, whatever, and mark times on it so that you know that by 12 o'clock, this bottle has to be done. If it's not done, you scull it. And then you start again for the afternoon, you know. But whatever it takes, we've got to get into the habit of drinking good, clean water. Risks of lack of movement. Decreased muscle mass. Okay, wait, I want to apologize too for these dear old ladies here. I put them there for the 75s and older. Sorry, I should have changed that. Anyway, but even they are lifting weights, so anyway, yes. Decreased muscle mass, which is just logical. Women over the age of 40, we lose 10% of our muscle mass every decade. We usually don't start out with enough to lose that and still be okay. So there are some doctors that I've followed that talk about when a woman drops to the ground and has broken a hip. Often she's broken a hip before she hits the ground because she doesn't have the muscle mass to strengthen that hip bone, and it snaps and she hits the floor. We've got to keep our muscles strong. And there is no reason, if you haven't, there's no reason why you can't build up those muscles in this age. Physiologically, it's the same muscle tissue. You just have to do it, that's all. Not everybody has to do it at any age, but we need to be conscious of it. So risk of lack of movement, instability, when you shuffle a bit, like being careful of how the floor is. I mean, it's important, but also we need to have the muscles in our legs to lift our feet and move around. Incontinence, our pelvic floors. Women, remember those ads on TV? Oh, I'm doing those pelvic floor exercises even as we talk. Good grief, my eyebrows go up and down when I do it. It's a dead giveaway. But we need to keep, men as well, those pelvic floors have to be strong. Incontinence happens otherwise. It's just logic. It's that whole if you don't use it, you lose it thing, which I don't like that, but it's kind of true. Risks of lack of movement, also dehydration, because you're not going to get, you don't feel thirsty if you're not moving, so you're not going to go and get water. Cognitive decline is related to lack of movement. Because when you move, if you've been sitting, you get up to move, you're breathing a little bit deeper, you're moving your blood around, you're getting oxygenated blood to your brain. We've got to move for our brains to be healthy. Depression, it all is related. Decreased confidence. And these are all things that we can experience at any time of our life if we're not able to move for some reason. But as we get older, it can just increase more and more. So movements, how to. Two different ways of movement that are crucial. Stretching, keeping the flexibility in our 15 minutes. Okay. Stretching as well as lifting heavy things. Now, heavy is a relative term. In your handouts there, I've got, you may have seen it already, there's a little table that has just some ideas for movement. You don't have to get a gym membership. I went and got a gym membership. I could not lift anything. I walked on a treadmill. I could have just gone for a walk down the street. But I started. And because I paid money, I went. Didn't need to. But we need to lift heavy things. If you're sitting, you find yourself sitting a lot, two cans of vegetables. Lift them 10 times. Set a timer. If you do it 4 times a day, if you watch the news, once at the beginning, once at the end, and then it won't be a waste of time watching the news. So breathing deeply staves off cognitive decline and respiratory disease. Often our lungs if we don't expand them with deep breathing, they get kind of tough. And so it's hard when you get a cold or something, we can get pneumonia a lot quicker because we're not used to actually breathing and coughing out the stuff that shouldn't be in there. Being consistent is key. Do what's hard. Yes, it's hard. No, I don't like it. I go to the gym now. I lift heavy things. I don't like it. But it's hard if I don't do it too. So pick your difficult. As soon as I don't exercise for about 2 weeks, my hips hurt. Everything just starts to kind of seize up. I'm 54. I don't have time for that. So I'll go back to the gym. And I'm working on doing it happily. Nutrition is a really big one. There are a lot of things very directly related to poor nutrition. Most of the problem is we don't know what nutrition is anymore. So, did God create it? If you can hold it in your hand and say, this is a banana. Eat it. And be aware of what your food was fed. If it was an animal, did they feed it with grain? What sort of grain? How sprayed was that grain? So you're eating a lot of pesticides. If it was vegetables, how many times was it sprayed between the farm and you? We've got to be aware of that. This is probably the easiest, the first three points. Real food, if you're deciding what to eat, is it real food or not real food? If you put it on the bench and it rots, it was real food, you should have eaten it. Eat food that's in season locally. We all hear that, but it's really hard. You can't get that at Coles and Woolies. You have to go outside the usual. And eat when you're hungry. How many times do we eat for all the other reasons? We eat for therapy, we eat to, you know, celebrate, we eat because we're sad, we eat because we're happy, we eat because, I don't know, it's 3 o'clock. And then stop eating when it stops tasting good. The thing is that when we're eating processed food, it is designed to be addictive, and it latches on to the opiate receptors in your brain. It's an addiction. So when I talk to people about we need to be eating real whole food, meat, nuts, seeds, vegetables, fruit, the end. But I like, great, that's an addiction. Grains, the way they're processed, and sugar especially, is designed to addict us. There's another one, another way to tell if it's a real food, if there's an ad on television for it. This one, especially if you have grandchildren, we are not dogs, we don't need treats. Yes, I am learning this one as a grandma, because my daughter is like, what are you feeding her? And I'm pretty careful. So now my treats for her is beef. She loves beef, meat, yeah. A word about sugar. That's very important to read through. It's just some more references for you. But there's a direct correlation between the big four. Cancer, dementia and Alzheimer's, heart disease and diabetes. Sugar. So start looking at where is the sugar. If it's in a packet, it's got sugar in it almost all the time. And it's not real food. We've got to be as picky as that if we're going to really look after our health. I believe this is in your handout as well, so I won't go into that one. There's a habit tracker. Did anyone have a question? Sorry. Okay. There's a habit tracker in your handout. If you decide you want to make a change and you want to start making some healthy habits, the best way to start is to do it. You know, it's really good thinking about it and planning it. Do it and tick a little box. I did that. It's like those star charts when the kids were little and we were homeschooling. It was just little stickers. But man, it was so good to see that line of stars. I did that. And when you're making a new habit, that is, you don't see any results for a long time. You don't feel any results necessarily. Sometimes you do real quick, but mostly not. It can be really hard. It's just knowing I'm choosing to do this because it is better for me and I'm gonna do it. We're adults, we can do that. Closing thoughts. We get to care for ourselves. We get to honor our God for how he created us. When I kind of put that together in my brain, it was like a light bulb came on for me. How many times have I heard, oh, I can't have that anymore, I can't have bread, I can't have that. If we're in a state of deprivation and whining about it, who does that remind us of? The children of Israel. And they were complaining because they didn't get the leeks and the onions back in Egypt anymore. Do you know that was designed for slaves? That was that food that they were used to and they were complaining they didn't have anymore was because the rotting meat was so disgusting that you had to have strong flavors to make it palatable. Leeks and onions is not what we want. They were heading to a land flowing with milk and honey. We have the opportunity to honor God by looking at what he created for us. And we get to thank him holistically mind, body, emotions, and spirit by just going back to the basics. So I want to thank you. Now, I do realize that it's really easy to say, oh, you shouldn't have bread, you shouldn't have cakes, you shouldn't have sugar. And so because I did that to you, I have a sign-up sheet. If you would like me to send you, I've made a recipe book of morning tea ideas. Because Sunday, I don't know about your church, but our church, Sunday mornings, we love getting together. We love having a coffee after church. We love the snacks. And I look at those snacks and I go, we are poisoning ourselves and each other. This is causing inflammation, which opens the door to every chronic disease there is. What are we doing? So if you would like, I have a piece of paper. You can write your name down with your email address. I will send you just some ideas for whole real food for morning teas. And also, if there is anything that you would like to have a chat about, I am around and I have intentionally not booked anything apart from just these two talks. So if you have questions or whatever, please do that. And I do see people one-to-one online because sometimes it takes a little longer than just a little quick chat while everybody's around. So also that's on that piece of paper as well. And I have some books that are just some really good resources for looking at cancer, healthy habits, Alzheimer's, things like that, that may be from a little bit of a different perspective than what you've seen them. Do we have any of those handouts left? How many do we need? We have quite a few. Okay. Does anyone else need a handout still? Because we'll print more if we need to. Yeah. I think we will need to print out some more, Dad. Oh, you've got some. Okay. Does anyone have any quick questions? Otherwise, we'll go to afternoon tea. Now that I've ruined that for you. Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment. The last couple of months, I learned that when the tobacco industry got decimated, they bought up all the food industries and added stuff, had their scientists working to make food addictive.
Yes. And that is a very well-known fact. Now, it's amazing now that there's such a... information is so easy to get in some, if you know how to do it. Yeah, a lot of stuff like that is coming out. So we've got to be intentional in what we go for, what we eat. Anyway, thank you. Yes?
Plain yogurt and honey, do they have a lot of sugar?
Depends on what the yogurt is. Depends on if it's from raw milk. And it depends on if you've put the honey in and it's come from a beehive.
Yeah, it comes from a beehive.
Okay, great, excellent. Also, very small amount of that, very infrequently. Not every day. No. But the yogurt, if it's a good quality Greek yogurt, that's no sweet, not Greek style, Greek yogurt. Greek style is fake. Yeah, it's, if there's anything with a label, if you don't know what those ingredients are, they're not food. Yes?
One amazing word that we should think about, exercise.
Yes.
If you don't exercise, you can only go downhill. I started cane cutting when I was about 16.
Yeah.
It was the best thing I ever did.
Yes.
And now I'm 80, and I'm going back to, I've got me a farm with traps, and I'm going to be doing one
great!
Because it increases your strength.
Everything is affected. Yeah, good on you. Good on you. I think we're done. Yeah.